Is this thing on? Is this still okay? Yeah, I think we're good. I think this all still works. Welcome back to the Canon Cantina, everybody. We apologize that it's been so long since we've had an episode. We'll tell you why here in just a little bit.
There's a lot of reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone. In case you forgot, I'm Mike, and I'm joined by my Star Wars best friend Jesse. How's it going, dude?
It is going quite well, Mike, and I'm really excited to talk today on the Canon Cantina, and hopefully this time, I say this time because it's happened multiple times now, our episode is saved, because I still wake up in a cold sweat, Mike, of our last couple episodes we lost, because those were really good discussions, and I really look forward to doing them in the future. I know you're not wanting to do them right now because the wounds are still fresh, but we had some really fun episodes that weren't based on news or anything. We finally had a break. We could talk about topics that weren't like, you know, news and big things happening in Star Wars and, you know, podcasting issues, production, you know, just equipment failures. And what do you know? They're lost. Hours of content.
Just aside from the hellscape that is the world we live in right now.
Of course.
We did sit down to record two episodes. We recorded them.
Yeah.
And due to just varying technical issues, they were both totally lost. I remember the big one on my end where I basically had to delete everything and spend hours on the phone with people. It's all working now. I forgot even what happened with the first one. But right. We're back. Yeah. We've got some exciting news just from us as a podcast, and there's some exciting Star Wars news to talk about. We're not going to hit all of the Star Wars news today.
No.
But we are going to focus on some of the Star Wars news that has us most excited. The release of Star Wars Squadrons by EA. This is something that, if I put my tinfoil hat on, my tinfoil trooper helmet on for a minute.
Okay. It's a good place to do it, Mike. Yeah.
I think that this game was actually going to be announced at Celebration in August and then released around Christmas time.
December, yeah. Fourth quarter.
And then once the decision to cancel Celebration happened, pour some out, RIP, happened, they're like, well, we happen to be far enough along on this that we can accelerate things. And give the people something, because we got the reveal trailer for this the day they announced that Celebration was canceled. So
right.
I think that they kind of were trying to give us a little something to soften the blow.
Yeah, and what a way to soften the blow, Mike. So there's a lot to be said about Star Wars Squadrons. So number one, you and I grew up playing the Star Wars flight sims. Our first thoughts were, is this going to be a full-fledged flight sims? It's going to be more of an arcade-y style Rogue Squadron game. Well, all those fears have been quelled. It is a full-on flight sim game. And so this kind of got us really excited. And we're like, okay, our first thought was, do we make the Dejarik table a really fully-fledged part of the Canon Cantina? We kind of dropped the Canon Cantina off and on for weeks at a time. No, we decided that's not a good way to go, because we want the Canon Cantina to always to be what this is, where we have these discussions about story and news and all sorts of things in the Star Wars world. And, you know, we pop in the Dejarik table every once in a while, right? But this seemed bigger than that. So that obviously led us to the next step, right, Mike?
Yeah, we knew that we would just talk about this game every week on the Canon Cantina.
Yeah.
And instead of giving it a dedicated segment that might take away from the overall show, or just, we know that not everybody's interested in video games or Star Wars Squadrons. We took the bold step to create a separate podcast feed for our Star Wars Squadrons discussion. We have launched Project Starhawk.
Most importantly, Mike, Project Starhawk is going to be a podcast about the game Star Wars Squadrons, and it's going to be a weekly show that covers news, strategy, lore, and just community interactions within that game. So if you listen to Canon Cantina, we would love for you to check out Project Starhawk. If you're not really interested in the game of Star Wars Squadrons, that's okay. But even if you're not, maybe just check out the show, and because it's going to be a different format than this, Mike. Right? It's going to be a little more concise. It's going to be tighter, and it's just going to be that game only. We're really not going to jump into any other Star Wars, because that's what we do here. So we're really going to keep it very focused and devoted only to, you know, Star Wars Squadrons there. And we're really excited to do both because, you know, some people's first thoughts of this might be, well, what does that mean for the Canon Cantina? What does that mean for this or that? Nothing really. I mean, we basically said we want to leave the Canon Cantina the way it is and start a new show and make it this hyper-focused, shorter format. And we're going to have both. And that's, we're going to both release them weekly, as close to weekly as possible, especially Project Starhawk, since it'll be these shorter segments. But we want to tell you guys here because you guys have been following us for some time, some of you several years, which is phenomenal, and we can't thank you enough. But it's, you're some of the first people we want to tell on the podcast format, that's for sure.
Yeah, so instead of taking up a chunk of Canon Cantina airtime every week, we decided to take that small chunk and expand it into roughly half-hour episodes over on Project Starhawk, devoted specifically to that game. The game comes out October 2nd, which is kind of a quick release window for just hearing about it in June. It might have still been May. I don't remember. No, it was June. it's kind of a quick release window. So if you're a little iffy on the game, you can check out the first few episodes we have of Project Starhawk, where we go into some of the details and the history of games like that and see if it turns out to be something you might want to try. It's only $40, $20 right. cheaper than most games today.
Right.
So that is maybe something to help lower that barrier to entry. But yeah, make sure you check out the not just the reveal trailer on YouTube, but the gameplay preview, and check out what we have to say on Project Starhawk about Star Wars Squadrons to see if it might be for you or something that you want to, that you're willing to risk $40 on.
That's right, Mike. It's something that we've gushed a little bit on Project Starhawk about, which I'm going to mention here because I think it's another selling point in this game. It's a cross-platform game, so much so that, like, if your friend has a PlayStation, you have a computer, or your friend has an Xbox and you have a PlayStation, whatever, you can still play with everyone. And that's something we're really looking forward to because that's always been a limiting factor with games in the past. And I think it's going to be really good for a game of this size, Mike. I'm really excited to basically play with as many people as possible. And we'd love to play with some of you guys that listen to this show. So if you're interested in Project Starhawk, obviously give it a follow. Check us out on social media at Project Starhawk. You guys are our core listener base. So it's building a podcast listener base and a social media base takes time and it's a lot of work. So if any of you guys can just follow those pages, we really appreciate it. But that aside, if you're going to play this game, let us know, and we'd love to play with you in the future.
Yeah, so just to give a quick summary of what we might talk about on Project Starhawk or how the game works. Star Wars Squadrons is a 5v5 multiplayer game at its core. There is a story mode, which we're going to kind of talk about later on in this show, but at its core, it's a 5v5 starfighter game where it is the New Republic versus the Empire, and there are four ships or four classes for each faction to choose from. You have your standard fighter class, which is the X-Wing for the Rebels and the TIE Fighter for the Empire. You have the Interceptor class, which is the A-Wing for the Rebels and the TIE Interceptor for the Empire. You have the Bomber, which you could kind of see coming, the Y-Wing for the Rebels, or the New Republic, and the TIE Bomber for the Empire. And what got Jesse jumping out of his seat when he saw it in the trailer was the reveal of a support class.
Yeah.
The support fighter, the U-Wing for the New Republic / Rebels, and the TIE Reaper for the Empire.
Very unexpected. And I think, Mike, that pushed it over the edge for me because it really made this class-based system real. In the past, it's been like, what do you like? Do you like flying an A-Wing? Do you like flying an X-Wing? They kind of nailed that this is a class-based game when they said, oh, no, there's a support player that heals members of your team as well and supplies support weapons and stuff. And, of course, it being these modern-era But original trilogy ships like the U-Wing and the TIE Reaper is really interesting as well.
Rogue One is, you know, literally right before Episode 4, so they fit into that timeline exactly. Okay, off the top of your head, what ship are you most excited to fly?
I said this on Project Starhawk, and I'm probably going to say it again here, Mike, but I think it's the U-Wing because it's, first of all, a ship I've never flied any of these games. It's a support role, which is great. Apparently, it's really fast, which is very exciting. And I just really like the ship. But, you know, New Republic all day for me. But everything we keep learning about this game, I'm getting more and more pulled to the dark side. It really seems like some of these TIE fighters are going to fly a special way. So my first pull is going to be the U-Wing, Mike. But, you know, we're obviously going to try all ships. But maybe over time, if I can fly okay, I might choose something like the TIE Interceptor. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be real embarrassing if we start a separate show for this game and we're real bad at it.
Very well could happen. That's okay.
This is tangentially related to what we're going to talk about later, but the ship I'm most excited to fly is the Y-Wing. Give me lasers and ion cannons and an astromech and shields and torpedoes. Yeah. I want all of it. I don't care that I'm slow. Yeah, shoot me a lot to kill me. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. And we're obviously going to dabble in all the fighters. Like, I am so excited to fly every ship in this game. But you asked me right now, off the cuff, what am I most excited about? It's that U-Wing and just supporting the team. But I really am going to try to fly the X-Wing a lot and just see what the game's like at its core as a fighter, you know?
You want to feel like you were good enough to try and join Rogue Squadron?
Yeah, that's right.
Before we move on from Star Wars Squadrons, we need to address the elephant in the room. Jesse, we named the four ships for the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
There's no B-Wing.
I know.
How do you feel? Are you doing okay?
I'm having a hard time, Mike, because the B-Wing was always a personal favorite of mine because I loved that it was truthfully and, you know, aesthetically, plus in the Star Wars lore later we found out, an interesting mix of the Y-Wing and the X-Wing. And I, for some reason, that really gravitated towards me. The high hull, high weapons, it can go toe-to-toe with other fighters, but it also can destroy capital ships. The B-Wing being gone from the game is really strange because we haven't really laid it out enough here, but we certainly do on Project Starhawk. But Mike and I grew up playing these flight sim games, and a ship I gravitated towards a lot in those games was the B-Wing. And inversely, on the Imperial side, it was the TIE Defender. And those both seem similar ships that are missing from this game currently, which are canon ships that are not in the game.
Yeah, and we get into the details of, well, could they be added later, or is this a standalone game? We talk about all that on Project Starhawk, but I have a theory, putting my tinfoil helmet back on, about why there's no B-Wing in... I keep trying to call the game Project Starhawk. I have a theory about why there's no B-Wing in Star Wars Squadrons.
I do too, Mike.
I know whose fault it was.
Uh-oh.
It was that turd who should never have existed, Aftab Ackbar.
What?
Yes. As punishment for Aftab Ackbar existing in Rise of Skywalker, they took the B-Wing away from us.
You know, Mike, I'm going to get tinfoil hatty here and say the B-Wing's coming for the game, and it's probably an expansion that costs money. Because the same thing happened with X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. The B-Wing was released as an expansion for that. And my biggest indicator of the B-Wing coming to the game is they show some new weapons in the trailer, namely the B-Wing prototype weapon from Star Wars Rebels, that laser that cuts through capital ships. They show TIE bombers using this weapon, which has never been shown in canon ever. And that's a B-Wing weapon in canon from Rebels. I mean, what ship should be shooting that alongside the TIE bombers? Probably the B-Wing.
But the Emperor should be dead. What do we do, General?
Right.
Yeah.
So
he's right up there with Knights of Ren as the worst parts of the sequel trilogy. Anyway, enough dunking on Aftab Ackbar. If you are interested in Star Wars Squadrons, please check out Project Starhawk. You can find it on all of your podcast players and find us on social media, all those places that Jesse mentioned earlier.
Yeah, just at Project Starhawk.
Yeah, it is a not coincidence. Isn't it ironic? No, it's not that either. it's fun that we are talking about Star Wars Squadrons, and along with our main topic today, a couple weeks ago, Star Wars Shadowfall, an Alphabet Squadron novel, came out, and this kind of coincided with the trailer for Star Wars Squadrons dropping.
It did.
And that inspired me to go finish the first Alphabet Squadron book and then pick up the second one, because Alphabet Squadron, just looking at the cover, you see a U-Wing, A-Wing, Y-Wing, X-Wing, and a B-Wing. Five Rebel ships. We can't play the B-Wing in Star Wars Squadrons, but it really has a similar feel. And like, you got this small team of all these ships that you can choose from.
Yet, Mike, yet. Because in Star Wars Squadrons, it's a five-man team. That's what's funny. Right now, someone's doubling up on something, but you know the last spot's going to be a B-Wing.
So I had actually started the first Alphabet Squadron book not long after it came out,
right?
And I was listening to it on Audible.
How was that, by the way? Was it one of the better Audibles of Star Wars? Because in my experience, the Star Wars audiobooks are always exceptional because of the sound, because of the sound effects, because of the music elements. Sometimes the voice actors they bring them in or readers are really good. What's the case with this one?
The production quality is exactly like you said. It's up there with some of the better Star Wars audiobooks. But I was just finding that listening in my car going to and from work wasn't enough to really engage me with the first Alphabet Squadron book. I don't know if that was a mix of the new narrator they had or like there were more details I needed to pay attention to that I, you know, couldn't safely give 100% attention to while driving. I enjoyed the book, but it just became like, well, I keep missing too much and need to go back and hear parts again. And I moved on from it. But I went back and finished it when the second book, Shadowfall, came out. And I finished Shadowfall today. So that's so Alphabet Squadron and its similarities to Star Wars Squadrons, the game, is kind of our main topic today.
Right. Well, we've got a lot of new canon content, Mike, around this theme, which is squadrons, fighters, capital ships, space combat. This is kind of new for Star Wars because this is all new information for this timeline. If you fast forward, if you rewind, back to Legends, like there was tons of content on this, namely the X-Wing series that you and I grew up reading. But I'm really excited to hear about a new series that's like the X-Wing series, but brought into the canon after Return of the Jedi in modern day. And I have not yet got to read Alphabet Squadron yet. So I think Mike's going to keep it fairly spoiler-free today because it's currently something that's on my to-do list. But as listeners know, I'm still fully in the COVID-19 world of taking care of an infant, and my wife's trying to navigate work and all these things. And there's not really been time to read, unfortunately. And I'm really excited to read.
Yeah, so as Jesse said, I'm going to stay largely spoiler-free for the two books. I definitely won't be ruining key plot points or anything, but I am going to talk a little bit about just the premise of the book, the members of Alphabet Squadron, and how they came together. And it's funny that you bring up the old X-Wing books, because this is completely different in a good way. Okay, so Alphabet Squadron, it's the first book where you just realize that Lucasfilm and publishing, they're leaning into, yes, we know we have a lot of ships named after letters based on how they look, which I think is a great acknowledgement just by the publisher. And just in canon, they are actually called Alphabet Squadron. It's not just the title of the book.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Alphabet Squadron takes place, and the sequel, the entire Alphabet Squadron series, because there's one more book to come. They take place in the year after the Battle of Endor.
Okay.
So this coincides with a lot of things that happen in the Aftermath trilogy.
Right.
We haven't gotten official, like, timelines on which specific events happen in which order, but they all happen within that first year between the Battle of Endor and the Battle of Jakku.
Right. Okay.
And this actually overlaps with Squadrons some, because we know in the trailer for Squadrons that Hera is working with Vanguard Squadron on protecting the Nadiri Dockyards, where, Jesse, what are they making at the Nadiri Dockyards?
They're making a new capital ship for the New Republic called the Starhawk. So it is Project Starhawk, which is a major project for the New Republic, where they disassemble the Imperial Star Destroyers of the Empire and make a new, basically, capital ship for the New Republic to basically maintain peace in the galaxy. And these are actually can go toe-to-toe with the Star Destroyer, which has never happened for the Rebellion before.
Yeah, and if you have read the Aftermath trilogy, particularly Empire's End, you know how important the Starhawk ships were to the Battle of Jakku.
Right. There's three at the battle, and which is interesting. So we kind of know the end piece of all this, Mike. We know that the Rebellion, turning into the New Republic, does get this project off the ground. They build at least three Starhawks that even take down super Star Destroyers at the Battle of Jakku. But the steps to get there is what's really interesting. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned our name, Mike, because it's not really something we talked about up front. And this being the canon show and, you know, the story-based show, that's why we chose that name, because we love the canon element of that name and what it means for the story, because all the story of Squadrons is built around this. And it seems like some of the pieces in place, of course, in Alphabet Squadron and Aftermath Trilogy are around the Starhawk as well.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like Squadrons might have more direct ties to the development and construction of the Starhawk. But for sure, the second book, Shadowfall, in Alphabet Squadron, definitely has some just canon timeline overlap, which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've given you the timeline of when this happens. It's going to wrap up by the time the Battle of Jakku happens. It's happening within that year between Endor and Jakku. I'm going to first start just by describing the antagonist of the story. And the antagonist is the 204th Imperial Fighter Wing. It is an elite TIE fighter squadron, only TIE fighters, although they occasionally use bombers. I think those are the only two ships that they've used, though. It's an elite TIE fighter wing that has kind of kicked the rebels and fledgling New Republic's ass for a while. They participated in Operation Cinder.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, I'll give the book side of things.
Yeah.
But Operation Cinder, high level, what is it?
High level, it was a in-game sort of scenario that Palpatine had set in place. In the case of his death, he would send out these courier droids to all the Imperial admirals to basically raise worlds that could no longer serve the Empire, but also leave nothing of substance for the enemy to use, Mike, if that makes sense. So no resources, no bases, things like that. Even going so far to an Operation Cinder, the Imperial Remnant destroys a lot of their even own military bases, and they kind of leave and reconvene at a different place under new management, basically. And that's the beginning of Operation Cinder, if I'm correct, and what we see in the Battlefront games.
So I'm going to get just a little spoilery here, just a little. It's about the formation of the two factions here. If you really want to go into Alphabet Squadron blind, listen to this after and see if you agree with what I have to say about it. Shadow Wing, the 204th Fighter Wing, participated in Operation Cinder, and they successfully destroyed the world Necronus. I will leave the details to you to go read. Our main character that we follow, her name is Erica Quell, Y-R-I-C-A, Erica spelled weird. She was a fighter in Shadow Wing who felt such guilt and remorse after Operation Cinder and destroying Necronus, she defected to the New Republic.
Sounds like Aiden Versio. More spoilers.
but similar to Aiden, different specialties, because you know Iden was, you know, a like shock trooper type, but they also have very different personalities as well. Erica Quell defects to the New Republic, and she is eventually identified as a somewhat valuable asset by a person named Karen Aiden. Karen Aiden works for the New Republic CIA, basically, is how this works out. He works for New Republic Intelligence.
Okay.
I got a trivia question for you.
Oh, boy.
The guy in Attack of the Clones who wants to sell some death sticks, do you know what species he is?
I don't remember right now, no.
It is a Balasar.
That's right.
And that is what Karen Aiden is.
Oh,
this is the second appearance of one of those humans with weird tentacles sticking, or not tentacles, weird antenna sticking out of their head.
Wow, they're using that race for the first time.
I know, right? He works for New Republic Intelligence, and he is tasked with eliminating Shadow Wing. So he sees Erica Quell, the recent defector, as a useful asset.
Time to assemble a team.
Yeah, and he assembles a team around Erica. She transitions from a TIE fighter to being the X-Wing pilot,
of course,
for Alphabet Squadron.
Very Squadrons video game-esque right now.
I'm not going to give away the order that they're recruited in the book, but I'll just give a little bit about the pilots of the different ships in Alphabet Squadron, because they are all interesting characters. The Y-Wing is piloted by Nath Tenzint, and he is another former Imperial defector. In fact, earlier in the war, him and his entire squadron defected from the Empire.
Oh, wow.
But he flies the Y-Wing. He's one of the heavies of the group. He's an older guy, and when I was listening to the Audible recording of the first book, the narrator decided to give him sort of like a cowboy accent.
Yeah.
Well, brother, I don't know how this fight's gonna go, but that's kind of how I heard him the rest of the time.
Yeah, man.
The next two books.
Y-Wing pilot. That's perfect.
So he is, you know, a veteran pilot, a former defector from the Empire, who has his own vendetta against Shadow Wing.
Okay.
And I guess I'll get a little spoilery on just sort of the motivation of why all of these pilots join Alphabet Squadron against Shadow Wing. They all have a personal connection to it.
Okay.
Nath was the only survivor of his rebel attack unit that that was decimated by Shadow Wing. They murdered all of his friends and squad mates.
Sure.
Again, this is all within like the first quarter or a third of the first book. This is just to kind of get you hooked a little bit. It's maybe technically a spoiler, but not giving anything away about the overall story. Just trying to build up these pilots a little bit. Next, I'm going to talk about the B-Wing pilot.
All right.
Her name is Chasna Chaddick. Chasna Chaddick. She is a Thelan, a new alien race.
Yes.
I think was created just for Alphabet Squadron. She's on the cover, actually, of Shadowfall. It looks really cool. Chas has kind of a background as a rebel. She realizes that she'd actually met Jyn Erso. So this is kind of our Rogue One connection.
Wow.
Kind of idolizes Jyn Erso. Flew with the Cavern Angels for a little bit and ended up flying a B-Wing for Hound Squadron in the Rebellion.
Okay. So she's very well versed in the B-Wing.
Yes. She's the other heavy of the group.
Of course.
And I guess I should say that I'll reference this again later. Each pilot has a unique trait that is frequently referenced when switching from points of view. Sometimes we are reading from Chas's point of view in the B-Wing, sometimes from Nath and all these other pilots. Okay. Her unique trait is something that is new-ish to Star Wars. She is frequently referenced as having music chips. She is always blaring music in her B-Wing during combat engagements. They did not reference Lord Vader's many prosthetic parts. Yeah.
That's good, Mike. That's good. We don't need that.
A good pull for an old episode we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that is kind of her thing. It's like, oh, she's always blaring music and they're always describing the music she's listening to.
Oh, man.
Like what it sounds like in the Star Wars universe.
That's so funny.
Next, I'm going to talk about the A-Wing pilot. His name is Will Lark, W-Y-L, Will Lark. He is your good country boy. He comes from a bit of a backwater world.
Yeah.
That was saved by the rebellion. So him and 119 others volunteered to join up with the rebellion. And his homeworld had basically the equivalent of banthas that fly. That's not quite right because they weren't like elephants, but he learned to fly by like piloting creatures like that Legends of Luke Skywalker story that we read. Will Lark, he's the good guy. He's kind of the moral conscience of the team. Hmm. He is the one that's, you know,
I like that.
Perhaps the most empathetic and compassionate on the team, which seems almost contradictory to, you know, he's also, you know, flying the most fragile and fastest ship. You expect more of a, like a test pilot mentality out of A-Wing pilots.
They're also the Ace Hunter pilots. Like they're the guys that hunt the other starfighters. You know what I mean? Like that's what the Interceptor's role is.
And you would think, but that doesn't fit Will Lark.
I like that.
So the last pilot of Alphabet Squadron I'm going to talk about is the one we know least about, even through two books, and she's my favorite.
Oh.
Her name is Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. We still don't know what species she is.
Why?
I can't tell you. Okay. Because we're staying spoilery free.
Cool. Yeah.
She's very, very clearly a new species for the books. But she's the U-Wing pilot.
Okay.
She has a very mysterious past. She wears kind of not a cybernetic mask because it doesn't like move or animate, but she has
Tali Zora in Mass Effect.
Yeah, kind of like Tali. Yeah. If you look her up on Wikipedia, they have
concept
like
drawn, art or something.
Drawn like portraits of all the
sure.
pilots, and she looks cool. She's very mysterious, doesn't speak very often. So they, when she's communicating with the Starfighter Squadron, a lot of times it's just like one click for yes, two clicks for no kind of thing.
Wow.
When she does talk, it's a big deal. And she has a past tied to Karen Aiden, the intelligence agent who put the unit together.
All right.
So she's the most mysterious and I guess so far for me, the most intriguing pilot of Alphabet Squadron.
So how do they, this is almost like a question I'm asking you to get me more ready for Star Wars Squadrons. How do they use the U-Wing in this group? Since it's such a new ship and we've never seen it in the books before and dogfights and stuff, how is it used in a more support role?
Yes, it is used in a support role. Not necessarily of
because they're troop transports.
Squad mates.
The U-Wings are great troop transports.
Kairos does act as a troop transport sometimes in their hunt of Shadow Wing. Yes. And I can't really say much more without getting
support role,
spoilery. But yes, yeah. it is fitting into that support role. She's not, you know, firing HP regen droids at her teammates or anything like he will be in the game.
Hey, ion cannons, though, on that U-Wing in the game. Lots of ion cannons and immobilizing weapons and stuff for the team.
U-Wings don't have ion cannons.
They show it in the trailer, so.
That was a rebirth.
Well.
Anyway. there's one more player that we need to talk about for the good guys here. It's a new droid, mm-hmm. ITO.
Oh, I love it. I love new droids.
ITO is a reprogrammed Imperial torture droid. Who has been reprogrammed to essentially act as a therapist for defectors from the Empire.
Okay.
So in the first book in particular, we get a lot of interaction between Quell and ITO. That's kind of how we get a lot of the background and exposition of how people ended up where they are.
Okay. I like that. Is this more like a K2 or is this like more the interrogation type? I mean, there's a lot of options here. But
K2 was given a personality.
Sure.
ITO is a torture droid that just got reprogrammed enough to work for the other side and ask, how does that make you feel? Of people.
Okay.
So ITO is a very, very interesting droid. Great new character for these books.
Oh, yeah. I always love the new droids. It's one of my favorite things in Star Wars.
So those are the protagonists that we're with. We also see a lot of General Harris and Dula.
Yes.
In this book. Or in these books, excuse me. Generaling about. No mention of the ghost yet, I don't think. She's actually flying around an Acclimator-class cruiser called the Lodestar, which is your sequel to the Venator. So like a end of Clone Wars era pre-Star Destroyer
thing. Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting choice. I like that. And this time,
and the reason we decided to even tie talking about Alphabet Squadron to the game Squadrons today, Hera talks about in the gameplay trailer, talking to Vanguard Squadron. Yeah, Vanguard Squadron is like tangentially associated in these books because they're with Hera. Alphabet Squadron doesn't report to Hera or anything like that. They work for intelligence instead of the military, which is a unique twist on the Starfighter
Squadron.
But when it's an intelligence unit tasked with tracking down a Starfighter Squadron, you need Starfighters.
Yeah, and Vanguard Squadron obviously is directly tied to the military, and so much so directly to this Nadiri Dockyards Project Starhawk. So I'm interested to see Hera, Mike, not only in these books, but obviously in Project Starhawk. And they actually got, you know, the voice work as well to back it up, which is very exciting.
Oh yeah. No. Vanessa Marshall is awesome. So those are the quote good guys. Okay. Have I intrigued you a little bit more about Alphabet
Squadron? Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to talk about the specific characters on the Imperial side. There are not as many, obviously. And I don't want to, I'm afraid if I talk about them, I will give away not just like spoilers, but good emotional beats of the book. Right. So if you're interested in the protagonists, there are not always like equals or counterparts on the other side, but there are definitely some individuals on the Empire that are kind of identified and focused on.
Sure. Okay.
So I finished book two today, book two of three. Just to kind of give my overall impressions and review here, I enjoyed both books. Shadowfall ended on a mega Empire Strikes Back
Act Two
downer. Yeah. Like it was like, whoa, this book got dark. I haven't read a Star Wars book that got this dark in a long time.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that fits kind of with the other books that Alexander Freed, the author, has written, because he wrote the Battlefront Twilight Company and Inferno Squadron book. So he he is the one that embraces the dark side of war.
But say, yeah, the war. He likes writing these war stories, Mike. So that's pretty interesting to look at these books under that light as well, because I did not know it was him. So that actually brings a lot of light to this.
So my overall impression of the story of Alphabet Squadron so far is that it is an enjoyable story featuring lots of unlikable characters, and that's by design. Alphabet Squadron is designed to be a band of misfits. They all have different backgrounds, but they were all affected by Shadow Wing in some way. Okay. And part of the reason I throw the unlikable tag on them is each book so far, I feel, is like 50 to 75 pages too long. The third quarter, particularly, of each book kind of drags. Like, the story's exciting for the first half, lull, then a quick ending.
Okay.
But the reason I'm calling the characters unlikable, with quotes, obviously I like them or I wouldn't keep reading it, because they're unlikable by design. I kind of mentioned earlier, they all have their own unique trait. Like, oh, Kairos, she listens, or not Kairos. Kairos is weird. Chas listens to music. Right. Will's the goody-goody. Nath is the old scraggly veteran, you know. I think that the books, when we are reading from their different points of view, just lean into that too much. Like, I don't need to be reminded every time that we're going from the B-Wing perspective that Chaz listens to music during fights. I don't care what music in the Star Wars galaxy sounds like. It used to be called jizz, of all things. I don't need...
jizz rock, man. It's real.
I don't need descriptions of what Star Wars music
sounds like. I mean, some people are jizz rockers, some people are jizz whalers.
Oh, no.
Canon.
Yes,
canon.
Is it new canon? That's Legends, right?
Heir of the Empire brings all that back.
I thought they avoided jizz. I thought they were smarter than that.
I talk about jizz whalers.
Oh, man.
Jizz rock.
Anyway, so that's like, oh, this is Chess. This is her quirk. We're going to lean into it and maybe talk about it for too long. Okay. Oh, this is Will. He's your A-Wing pilot. He's the goody-goody. We're going to lean into his empathy too much, to the point where we're writing too much about it, and it just kind of takes you out of it. Hmm. The commander of Alphabet Squadron, Erica Quill, she's an Imperial through and through, working for the Rebellion. So she's just kind of unlikable by design, which again, I think this is a good thing. It's definitely new for a Star Wars book, because those X-Wing books you talked about, you got invested in, like, oh, I love all of the different characters in Rogue Squadron.
That was the thing, was all the different characters and their different quirks and styles and stuff. And yeah,
but it was focused on the positive
mainly. Yeah,
usually these people are all terrible.
Okay,
they've all done bad. Maybe one is not a bad person, quote, but they all have their demons, or things we just don't know, like in Kairos, the Ewing pilot case. But they are uniquely suited to help the New Republic track down Shadowing. And it is a very interesting story. Each book is just a little long. They kind of drag, in the third quarter. And I kind of already talked about this. Shadowfall just got real dark and ended on a huge bummer.
That intrigues me.
But kind of like we said, Empire Strikes Back style, in a good way, because I'm really looking forward to the next book to figure out where this goes.
Absolutely.
So that's my non-spoilery, mostly, discussion about the Alphabet Squadron books. Maybe in a month or so, we'll come back and do a full spoiler, or maybe we'll wait till the third book comes out. But yeah, so I hope you kind of see the parallels between Star Wars Squadrons, the game, and Alphabet Squadron, the books. I hope you get a chance to read them or listen to them soon, because they are definitely different than, you know, your, this is a story about Finn and Poe and Rey and Resistance Reborn, or Han and Lando and Last Shot. Like, new characters, which I'm always in favor of, even if they are unlikable by design.
Okay, there we go. And you mentioned Hera's in this book, which is a selling point for me alone. Now, I have a good question that ties us to Squadrons again. Is Admiral Rae Sloan in these books, or at least a mention of her?
Her presence is felt in these books.
Because clearly Hera and Admiral Rae Sloan are going to be the higher level officers on the different sides of the squadron's game conflict, I'm gathering from what we've seen of the story. So I'm interested to see tertiary content around this time, because, you know, Mike, in Aftermath, Sloan is part of those. And then, like, Battlefront 2, we got other elements of other commanders. So I'm just curious with all that. I'm curious.
Yeah, so Sloane's presence is felt in these books, but Hera is directly involved in these books. So since they're kind of equals on the two factions, Hera is more involved, but Sloane is definitely felt here.
And who knows, with the Squadron's campaign being done by the time this third book comes out, they might do more with Sloane in the final book, or more with Hera, or they might lead up to the Battle of Jakku. Who knows? Like, there's a lot of elements that could happen. Even some of the stuff that happens to Vanguard Squadron in this canon story and Squadrons could tie directly to the third book.
It ties directly even to the second book. I don't think this is too spoilery. Yeah. Because the Squadron's trailer has Hera saying, "Hello, Vanguard, welcome to the Nadiri Dockyards," and you see them building the Starhawk. Right. At one point in the two books, Hera has to go with Vanguard Squadron
to this project
to help the New Republic acquire more capital ships in a new project. So it's very clearly, like, without saying the word Starhawk, Hera has to go deal with the Starhawk project.
Which is interesting, though, Mike, because in the second book, it's kind of setting up Squadrons. But now Squadrons is the next canon piece to come out before the third book. So Squadrons might set up some things in the third book.
Yeah. So I legitimately have no idea where the third book is going to go. I guess that's another plus. Cool. The ending of Shadowfall, the second book, threw me for such a loop that I have no idea what's going to happen in the third book.
That's great.
And I like that because sometimes, you know, trilogies get predictable or whatever. I have no idea what's going to happen.
No complaints there. That sounds great to me.
And I guess that's all I have to say about the Alphabet Squadron books, or all I can say without getting too spoilery. I've had a good time talking about Starfighter Squadrons, particularly five-person squadrons.
Yeah, that's right.
On the Canon Cantina.
Can't wait to play.
But yeah, that's going to do it for our first episode back with all of our technology working and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So sorry it's been so long. Do you know what the last episode we released was?
Rise of Skywalker commentary.
I know that, you know,
the irony is we recorded that somewhere in the middle of that craziness with the issues. So like, there was episodes on the front and back end of that didn't work. You know what I mean?
It's true. But just like quarantine times, you know, makes time have no meaning. It feels like we did that years ago.
It really does. And that was quite an endeavor, that commentary. Those of you that listened to it, thank you. Cause we were pretty loopy. It's the middle of the night for me. I mean,
middle of two nights.
Yeah. I get up super early in the morning now with the child. And, yeah, that was super fun to do that, Mike. So I'm excited to get the content back on track on this channel, on this feed. And, you know, it's fun to talk about Squadrons and a new storyline about fighters in the Star Wars canon, because that's new.
Yeah. So that'll do it for today's episode of the Canon Cantina. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at the Canon Cantina. If you want to send us an email, that's canoncantina@gmail.com. If you need to yell at me for getting too spoilery or anything, I promise I didn't give away like the big beats of either book or anything.
Right. And once again, you can follow me, Jesse, on Twitter and Instagram at Jesse Akin, EAKIN. Check out my podcast about the tabletop game Marvel Crisis Protocol and Marvel Comics at Fury's Finest on social media, and just Fury's Finest anywhere podcasts can be found.
And I know we plugged it at the beginning of this show, but it's just going to kind of become a normal thing I throw on the end. If you are interested in more detailed, in-depth, exclusive discussion about Star Wars Squadrons, check out our other show, Project Starhawk. It's got its own feed. And if you're bored, you can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Rodeo. That's going to do it, everybody. Cheers.
May the Force be with you.
Conversation anyway.